Bargain Basement Productions, in association with the Penny Pincher Players, presents Murder Under a Malathion Moon, a mystery for radio in four parts. Written and directed by Aaron Connolly and Jackie Loebland, engineered by Chris Matthews, with a musical score by Dawn Richardson. In our first episode, Sini and Midge, out-of-work actresses in private eyes, are hired to stop someone named Fancy Nails, who bumps off the bishop at the Arts Festival parade. While searching for clues at a performance art party, they're tipped off by a couple of drag queens to check out the Fancy Nails nail salon on Hillburst. There they meet Madame Mona Lisa, her boyfriend, and an odd fellow with a tattoo on his face. Now you're as confused as they are. Stay tuned for part two of Murder Under a Malathion Moon.
We get to the Oinks in the Los Feliz district, a trendy coffee house for performance artists on the rise. I'm not feeling very social right at the moment, and there are all too many familiar faces seated around the room. I wouldn't be surprised if Fancy Nails himself was floating around these trendy types. Besides, the coffee is severely overpriced. After ordering two double espressos, we sit down at a table we can barely fit our cups on.
I'm going to be sick. That bald witch Rainey is here. I know if I have an espresso, I'll beat her head in. Oh, hey, Sini, isn't that Steve Trusty over there?
It is true. Seated across the room from us is Steve Trusty, L.A.'s second best private eye and my only real competition in this town. He's sipping a cafe latte with his bubbly assistant, Twinkie. It would be safe to say that Steve and I have a love-hate relationship. I love the way he looks, but I hate how much more money he makes than me. When Steve catches my eye, I can feel it in my hip pocket, whatever that means.
Looks like you're having some obscene thoughts running through your head.
Oh, dear. Sexy Steve is heading over here.
Hi, Sini. Midge, mind if we sit down and join you for a minute?
No, I don't mind, and I'm sure Sini certainly doesn't.
Shut up, Midge.
What brings you two to the Oinks? Must be working on a case. Last time I saw you, you could hardly afford a cup of coffee between the two of you.
Yeah, well, we scrimped and saved until we could.
Yeah. We've got a couple of things on the line. You?
Sure.
Yeah. See that woman over there? That's Tippi Drake. The looker with the dark sunglasses. She works for Genghis Pop, the big shot at Dino Disc Records. He's given us $2,000 a week to trail her. Apparently, she was seen by some neighbors outside Genghis Pop's apartment the other night just before his wife Pinky dropped dead.
Seems pretty clear-cut. Why didn't the police grab... what's her name? Tippi?
No, Tippi. Tippi Drake. As far as the police are concerned, Pinky Pop died of natural causes. And I'd have to go along with that. Pinky was in pretty bad shape from what I could tell. A lot of drugs, alcohol, married to Genghis, a record executive and all. Just a simple heart attack, that's what I say. Too bad for old Genghis. Looks like Dino Disc finally had a couple of hit makers on the label. Ricklet Dick is tearing up the charts, and that other guy over there next to Tippi, his name is E equals MC Square. Looks like he's on his way up in a big way.
Oh my gosh, I know him. I'll be back in a sec.
So Genghis Pop is paying your bill?
That's right. He's paying us $2,000 a week, just like Steve said.
I seem to remember Genghis Pop being involved in some sort of embezzlement scandal. I thought Dino Disc went under.
Yeah, I heard he had a partner who really screwed him up down and sideways. I guess Genghis got rid of him, though, because Dino Disc is coming back with a vengeance. I'd say it's really Tippi Drake who pulled him out of the toilet. She's a terrific image consultant, both for Ricklet Dick and E equals MC Square.
If Tippy's so terrific, why does Genghis suspect her of his own wife's murder?
Well, not only was she spotted outside the apartment, but it's pretty common knowledge that Tippy's had her eye on old Genghis for quite a while. I think Genghis really liked her also. He just wants to be a little sure that she didn't kill Pinky before he let himself get involved. Screwed up as Pinky was, I think old Genghis really loved her. Anyway, I'm sure it's just a heart attack. I'll just trail the babe, collect a few $1,000, and that'll be that. You know what I mean, Sini?
Nini Sini.
You're pretty funny for a snack food, Twinkie. You really are. If I squeeze your head, does cream filling come out your ears?
Hey, is that an insult?
Looks like the music's starting.
I am E equals MC squared. I worship a man with the big white hair. They tried to kick him out of school cause he was stupid. Ain't talking about that angel dude Cupid.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah. He didn't really care about what he wear, and he never put a comb through that messy wad of hair. He liked to play with numbers, he never took a slumber. The bomb was his achievement, Hiroshima's bereavement.
yeah. All his famous quotes made the dude lots of dough. Some people say he slept with Marilyn Monroe. You may think that I act a fool, but I really think the cat is cool. I'm talking about Einstein. Einstein, don't want no Dianne Feinstein. Ain't talking about Arthur Rubinstein. Lot smarter than Frankenstein. Einstein, Einstein, don't want no Ronald Reaganstein. Ain't talking about that Gertrude Stein. Yo, baby, fill up my beer stein.
Wasn't that great? Come here, I want you to meet him. E equals MC squared, this is Sini Rigatini. Sini, this is E equals MC squared and his friend, Tippy Drake.
Hi.
Isn't your name actually Lenny...
Bentley. Lenny Bentley.
Didn't you used to play more of a folk-type music?
Yeah, I actually prefer...
Actually, his old music was wonderful, but it wasn't reaching out to the masses. You've got to go with the changing times, don't you think? An artist should be accessible. I mean, Bob Dylan was fine for the 60s, but nowadays people need a little beat with their meat, don't you think?
Yeah, whatever pays the bills. Look, let's get out of here.
Hold on a second. Rainey? Rainey, come here for a second, would you? This is Rainey Underwall.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had the pleasure.
Oh, well then you know what a great performance artist she is. I'm lucky to have her as my assistant.
Wow, Rainey, how do you like working as a receptionist?
2 + 2 = 22. Black and blue, and so are you.
Well, that was really lovely. You should really think about writing nursery rhymes.
Perhaps I will. This is only the beginning of my career. I'm working on a big, big piece about human sacrifice. You want to volunteer?
Before Midge's espresso kicks in and she kicks Rainey's head in, I drag her out to the car to discuss our plan of action. We can't question Veronica until the following Friday when she works again. No one seems to know her identity, but we're determined to find out who he, she, or it is. In the meantime, we decide to hit every fancy nail salon in town. A week of silk wraps and bouffant hairdos passes us by. A week that leads us nowhere with no more leads than we started with. Midge and I are about at the end of our ropes. On top of which, when I return home on the 7th day, there is a disturbing message from Ronnie Wonder. As usual, it has nothing to do with getting a part.
Sini, it's Ronnie. I need to engage your services. Not as an actress, but as a detective. Astral has been missing for a week. Her parents are hysterical. They've got a lot of money, and they're afraid she's been kidnapped. I haven't seen her since that day you two were here. You and Midge need to get over here right away.
Midge, it's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
Have I mentioned that you're bugging me?
Meet me at Ronnie's office in about a half an hour.
Oh, it's all my fault. I know it's my fault.
Why, Ronnie, what happened? Did you have a blowout?
No.
Did you treat her badly?
Oh, I always treat her badly. She thrives on abuse. That's why I hired her. Oh, I can just see it. Tomorrow I'll be reading about her in the obituaries. Oh, I'll have to frame it. Let's see, where should we put it? What am I saying? Oh, no one to answer the phone and no one to make the coffee. Oh, my God.
As usual, Ronnie is useless to us. We decide to leave her there, babbling to herself and chain-smoking, and go over to Astral's to piece this thing together for ourselves. When we get there, we see that Astral, true to form, has 6 deadbolts on her door, all locked.
Sini, what if she's dead in there? I mean, she was the major geek, but I kind of liked her anyway. And I was so mean to her the last time we were in the office. What if she's dying right now as we stand here doing nothing?
Shut up, Midge. Give me your nail file.
What if she slipped in the bathtub? Or maybe there's some maniac in there holding a garment bag around her head, like in that movie.
Shut up, Midge!
What are you doing, Sini? Giving the door a manicure while there's a group of maniacs killing Astral? Move out of the way. I know what I'm doing.
Suddenly, I find myself feeling a lot like Helen Keller. Not only are my eardrums shattered, but so are my glasses. Thanks for the bifocals, Midge. What was that all about?
You should wear contacts anyway. Much more flattering. Now help me get the glass off this window frame so we can climb through.
Astral's apartment is immaculate. Plastic still on the furniture. No sign of a struggle. And no sign of Astral. I'm going to go look in the bedroom. You look in the closet over there.
I can't. What if she's hanging there?
Midge, I've had it. Get over to that closet and I mean now.
Okay. All right. I'm going.
What? Oh, my God. Is she dead? Are we too late?
No, but would you look at this wardrobe? She probably committed suicide.
It took Midge 15 minutes to unfry my hands from around her neck. After that, I decide it's best if we stick together. We walk into the bedroom. It's a mess. There are coffee cups everywhere, which is no surprise, but they have cigarette butts in them. Hey, Midge, smell this coffee. Either Astral switched to some strange European blend or somebody's drugged her. I'll try and get some fingerprints and you go look through that trash.
Sini, I don't think I'll be looking through the trash. I think we're going to have to fight about that.
As I'm searching through the trash, I come upon a Tampax box stuffed with a bunch of torn pieces of paper, which we dump out on the kitchen table and piece together. We find two very compromising pieces of evidence. First, there's a stack of pictures of Astral in bed with a man, and a note which says, "Take the stuff to Australia and set up shop, or you'll lose your inheritance. Contact me with your decision."
Who signed it?
Midge, blackmailers don't usually sign their name. If we only knew who took these pictures.
It's probably that woman in the photograph. You can see her reflection in the mirror, see? The one with the camera.
Oh, yeah. But how are we going to find out who she is?
Well, Astral would never carry a Gucci.
Huh?
The bag on the table in the pictures. Find the bag and you'll find the woman. Or we could go ask Gunter.
Gunter?
Gunter Brill? He's the guy in the pictures. He's a valet over at the Java Hut.
We call Ronnie to fill her in on some of this new information. She informs us that Astral has taken a vow of chastity until marriage, and if she breaks it, the family dough would go to charitable causes. She's had no trouble keeping that vow until now. No wonder she's so high-strung. We take a seat inside the Java Hut and order two badly needed cups of coffee while we wait for Gunter's shift to start.
Welcome to the Java Hut, the hut where caffeine and karma come together. How may I help you?
Yeah, two cups of coffee, please. Listen, Mitch.
European, Moroccan, French, Colombian, amaretto ginger, Canadian vanilla almond, coca mocha almondine, tangerine decaf.
Look, whatever. Just give us two cups of the house blend.
Okay. Two cups of Bulger's, Joe. Be right with you. Big spenders.
There he is. Grunter! I won't even tell you how I came up with that name.
Please don't.
Hi, babe. Listen, is this yours?
No. I have one black lace bra, and I'm wearing it right now.
So, what are you doing here? Just came by for a cup of joe?
Well, actually, we wanted to talk to you if you have a minute.
Make it quick. The cars are stacking up in the parking lot.
Grunty, I've got a few pictures here that I want you to take a look at.
Oh, are they the ones of you and me and the 4th of July on sparklers?
Not quite.
Uh-oh, busted. Look, it's not what you think. Don't get upset. It was strictly a financial deal. Some woman said she wanted to play a joke on her friend. She bought me a few drinks, gave me $100, took me over to this chick's house, took a few pictures and split. I wasn't seeing fireworks like with you, babe.
Didn't that seem strange to you, Mr. Brill? Being picked up and paid by a strange woman to take illicit photos with some woman who was obviously passed out? Doesn't that seem strange to you at all?
Not as strange as those glasses. Okay, so maybe I had more than a few drinks. It didn't seem like a big hanging deal at the time.
Look, Gunter, this is no 4th of July picnic we're talking about here. This could be trouble for you.
Here's your coffee, two cups of house.
Can I have some milk?
Non-fat, low-fat, regular, acidophilus, goat, raw.
Just regular.
Hot, cold, steamed.
You're bugging me. Just bring me some milk.
You ought to switch to decaf.
Anyway, here's the scoop. The girl with you in the pictures has disappeared. Looks like blackmail. Do you have any way of getting a hold of the woman who picked you up that night?
No, man. She hardly said a word. Just picked me up and dropped me off.
Well, what kind of car was she driving? Do you think it was a rental?
I already told you. I was wasted out of my mind. It was a black Jag. Nice. Looked new. Don't know what the model was. Don't know if it was a rental either. Now that I think about it, I should have hit her up for a few more bucks.
Accomplice to blackmail is a pretty serious offense, Grunty. I'd start searching my memory if I were you.
Look, lady.
It's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
Look, Stimmy, I didn't do nothing. And if the police ask me, that's just what I'll tell them. Now I've got cause to park.
Could you at least give us a description of the woman?
I was pretty messed up, babe. Besides, she was all covered up. Jacket, scarf, duck glasses. If it helps, it looked like she was wearing a wig.
And I'm sure she was carrying an expensive Gucci bag, no doubt.
Yeah, she was carrying some kind of bag with her. Look, I've got to go. Hey, Midge, why don't you do one of your little numbers for me before I do?
You know what, Grunty? After I'd had 6 martinis, you reminded me a lot of Mickey Rourke. But now that I've had 3 cups of coffee, you remind me a lot of Mickey Rooney, and that's really bugging me, so go.
Oh, you're so cute. I'll call you later. Oh, nice to meet you, Steamy.
It's been a hoot. Well, that was about as helpful as a hemorrhoid.
Where should we begin? There's an awful lot of black Jags and Gucci bags in this town. Speaking of Gucci bags, I feel a shopping bender coming on. Hand me that L.A. Chicle, would ya? I wanna isolate some bargainage.
Not a bad idea, Midge. While you're shopping, why don't you stop by those swanky car rental places and see how many black Jags have been rented out this past week. If that goes nowhere, you can swing by Gucci and ask if they've sold a purse to a woman who drives a black Jag recently. Just do whatever you think, Midge. Just concentrate on catching our Gucci gal.
Oh, great. There goes my shopping fun.
Well, you're going to be working, right?
Right.
Sounds like a tax write-off to me.
Now you're talking, Steamy.
In the meantime, I'll call the poo in Australia.
What's a poo?
Not what, who. She's the best private eye in all of Australia. She helped us out on that kangaroo meat smuggling case. You remember, Midge?
Oh, yeah. How could I forget? It was such a big money-making venture for both of us.
She can track down Astral and find out what this shop is she's supposed to be setting up. Right now, I'm going over to the has-been room for a drink and try and sort out all the clues.
Oh, that'll take you all a half a beer. There's so many.
Midge, if you don't cut me some slack soon, I'm putting you on a boat to Kuaipang. Now, listen. I'll call you in a few hours. Tonight's the night we follow Veronica, the MC drag queen, home after her shift is over. She probably doesn't know who or where Fancy Nails is, but we'd feel pretty guilty about not pursuing our only lead considering the small fortune we're being paid. If this doesn't pan out, I say we dump the whole case, get Astral on the next plane home, and we'll both head to Kuaipang for a well-deserved vacation.
Here's another article about the bishop, and they mention his involvement in searching for that missing Brazilian couple.
Does it give their names?
No, it doesn't say much, just that he was looking for them. They probably interviewed Father Monk. Hey, wait a minute. Look at this. There's a picture here with the president of Dino Disc Records, Genghis Pop. Oh, so that's what he looks like. Ooh, what a creep. No wonder his wife Pinky had a heart attack looking at that face every morning. Ooh, and look at Tippy Drake, that image consultant that E equals MC squared introduced us to. She's hanging all over old Genghis. Well, well, it looks like Pinky pooped right out and Tippy tiptoed right in.
Boy, Steve always gets the good cases. Maybe we ought to consider advertising in the phone book.
Better yet, we could do a commercial. I could come up with a really cute jingle for us. If you need a good detective, then you better be selective, Midge and Sini. Midge and Sini. If you find yourself in trouble, better call us on the double, Midge and Sini. Midge and Sini. If you...
I leave Midge singing to herself and head over to the has-been room. An old jazz singer is warbling out a sorry version of Bye Bye Brazil, so it makes it a little hard to concentrate. But I really need a drink. I sit down at my usual table next to the autographed picture of Gloria Swanson and wait for the waitress. Where to begin, that's the question. I've got 2 cases that seem to be going nowhere, so I lay out all the clues from both cases to maybe get a feel about which one looks more promising. Not too much physical evidence. Case 1. I've got a calendar book from a dead bishop with a bunch of hieroglyphics scratched in on the day of his death. Some kind of shorthand. I never did well at breaking codes at private eye school. The only thing I know so far is that Father Monk was the FM at 4P. But who the hell is the MP at 2P? What about the original anonymous phone call? Should I take it to a specialist and have it analyzed? No, too much time and money. Besides, whoever it is that's paying my rent this month, I would hate to see them end up in jail. They probably don't have any more information or they would have called back. On the other hand, they must know that this Fancy Nails character is still on the lam. Otherwise, they would have stopped sending the cash. And the message said that there might be more deaths to come. Great. More stiffs. Oh, well. Maybe we'll learn something after we follow Veronica home this evening. Either that or I'll just end up with another nail job I can't afford. I only hope that this fancy nails turns up soon. I would hate to be subjected to another introduction to the notorious breasts. I'd hate to have to spend the rest of my year following performance artists around Los Angeles. I'd rather go back to Denny's.
Welcome to the has-been room, where yesterday and tomorrow are exactly the same as today. How can I help you?
How did you get here?
I drove. What can I get you? Don't tell me. You'd like the house blend.
Yeah, draft would be fine.
Hey, Les, pour me a Budweiser, would ya? Don't worry. I won't spill a drop. I know. You're on a budget.
Case number 2. The missing caffeine queen, Astral Trad. I have confidence that she'll be picked up safely in Australia. I'm curious to find out what this shop is she's supposed to be setting up. Guess we'll just have to wait this one out and hope that Midge comes up with more from her expedition than just a new hat. Well, that's it. That's all I've got. While Steve Trusty is getting paid the big bucks to follow women around, I'm trailing drag queens and spending my piddly salary on cheap coffee, and my nails are starting to look like Barbra Streisand's. Not to mention the parking problem. As I reach into my pocket to scrape up some change for my beer, I pull out an old crumpled business card. Madame Mona Lisa Pigliotti. Pigliotti, there's a name for you. Wait a minute. That makes her initials M.P. Chances are pretty slim that the bishop had a 2 o'clock appointment to get his nails done on the day of his death, but what the hell. I have nothing else to go on. Besides, I haven't had my nails done in almost 2 hours.
Hello, what can I do for you? Oh, no, not you again. Victor!
Wait a minute, Mona, it's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
I know who you are, and you're not welcome here, and neither is your sleazy sidekick.
Look, she's not even with me. I just wanted to get my nails done. Throw some business your way. Is that okay?
Throw your business someplace else, weenie Rigatini.
Too bad. I hear you give the best silk wraps in town, and that solid gold pinky nail looks like it's just my size. Thanks, anyway.
Wait a minute. Bibi, take care of her, will you? And don't let her ask too many questions.
Oh, sure. Hi, I'm Bibi. Wow, your nails look great already. Are you sure you want to get them done?
I take a seat at one of the tables, sitting opposite this girl who looks very familiar to me. Then I remember. She was the one screaming at Rick Ledick at the performance party. Say, weren't you at that performance party at the coffee grounds last week? Seems like you had a few choice words for that Rick Ledick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just such a... I don't know what. He's such a... Lately, he's just been such a big weenie. When we were kids, he used to be so nice. I mean, he was kind of a dork and everything, but he was really nice. Ever since he got that new image, he's so vain. I bet he thinks that song is about him.
At that moment, Vernon enters from the back room. He and Mona exchange a few polite words, but it's obvious they're on the outs. He goes to a desk in the back and unlocks one of the drawers with a key. He then pulls out of his pocket a brightly colored nail polish and sticks it in the drawer. It's kind of a magenta red, but there is something very strange about it. It almost seems to glow. It reminds me of the 64 Chevy Malibu I had 10 years ago. Oh, those were the days. My mind begins to wander, and I wake up an hour later.
And after high school, we went to the same college together. But he dropped out early and got into this music thing, but he still couldn't dress himself. Oh, I think Dino Disc was on the verge of dropping him before he hooked up with Tippy Drake, that image consultant, you know. I mean, he was a great guitar player and all, but he was such a dweeb, you know. It was kind of neat at first. It was such a relief I didn't have to help him pick out his clothes. But then he just stopped calling, and after that he doesn't even seem to know me. It's almost like hypnosis or brainwashing or something. It's like he really doesn't know me. And you know, he's not the only one who seems to have changed around here. Listen, what color do you want?
What do you mean he's not the only one who's changed?
Oh, I'm just afraid it might be catching. That's all, never mind. Listen, what color do you want?
I'd like to try that color he locked in that drawer back there.
No, I'm sorry. That stuff is defective or something. It just never seems to dry. But we've got a lot of similar colors. Bibi, show her the rest of the colors.
Sure. Listen, we got a nice pink, we got a purple.
Bibi babbles on for another 20 minutes while my nails dry. I take a risk and leave early before they're completely dry in order to avoid another nap. Time to find out if the bishop rings any bells with Madame Mona Lisa. I find the time to pop the question while she counts my penny rolls. So it's really awful the way that bishop died, isn't it?
What bishop? $2, $4, $6?
Oh, you must know the one. He got a dart in the neck at the arts festival during the parade. Pretty gruesome, huh?
Life in L.A. is always gruesome. Besides, what do I care? I'm Presbyterian anyway. 14 and a half. Hey, you better give me your phone number in case one of these penny rolls comes up short.
Mona refuses to let me use the phone, so I have to call Midge from a payphone outside. Midge, it's me, Sini, Sini Rigatini. Did you find the black jag?
No, but guess what?
You found the woman with the Gucci bag.
No, I got my hair cut.
Oh, well, isn't that great? And I got another manicure. We'll be the most glamorous women in the welfare line.
Great, we'll both be gorgeous for the party tonight.
No parties for us tonight, Midge. We've got to follow Veronica home from the coffee grounds. I know it'll probably lead us nowhere.
No deal, Sini. I just saved us another evening of bad performance art by calling the coffee grounds. It seems we can add Miss MC Drag Queen to the list of missing people. Nobody seems to have heard from her in about a week. Looks like Funny Girl has got her old job back. Besides, we got a personal invite from Lana Levine to attend her birthday party. I say we go clog up her toilet.
Another useless lead bites the dust. Oh well, it's probably the only way I'll get to eat tonight. I just spent the last of my penny rolls.
That concludes part two of Murder Under a Malathion Moon, with Aaron Connolly as Sini Rigatini, Jackie Loeblen as Midge Newton, David Cranton as Gunter Brill, Peter DePaula as Steve Trusty, Sarah Bowers as Twinkie, The Shribe as E equals MC squared, Julie Segovia as Tippi Drake, Noelle McGrath as Rainey Underwall, Terry Gervin as Ronnie Wonder, Margot Rose Thomas as The Waitress, Laura Finnegan as Madame Mona Lisa, and Paula Tiso as Bibi. Relativity Rap was performed by The Shribe, lyrics by Aaron Connolly and Jeff Mitchell, music by Aaron Connolly, Dan O'Hess, and Chris Matthews.